Okay, so are you ready? Ready? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So first thing I'd like to mention is we're going to try something new. The Little Children of the Holy Divine Will of Brazil had a great idea, and they would like a worldwide 24 hours of the Passion to be prayed on Good Friday. So what they're thinking of doing, and they've already begun to ask other countries at other time zones, to find at least 24 people in each country or in each time zone to pray 1 hour. Like, so we start 5 o'clock on Thursday for Thursday evening. In that hour, we pray, they will pray the hour, the 5 o'clock hour in their time zone. And then the next hour, they will pray the 6 o'clock hour in their time zone. So worldwide, we can get everyone in every country and in every time zone to pray the 24 hours of the Passion. We need something basically like Jonah did to Nineveh. We need a greater than Nineveh now. Jesus, last time we got together, Jesus said that the world is upside down. If the world is upside down, we need a pole reversal. We need a north and south pole reversal to get back right on track. And that's very dramatic. We need a conversion. The Protestants say we need a revival. Well, it's more than a revival. We need to convert. Jesus said to Louisa, when the church is closed, he says, it's not the bishops, it's not the priests that are closing it. He says, I, the Lord God Almighty, am closing these churches. I'm tired of the sacrileges. I'm tired of the indifferences. I'm tired of the being ignored. So you can imagine how many sacrileges have been stopped when the church is closed. And now this gives us a great opportunity to, especially for this Good Friday, to pray to bring about a conversion of the world. Through what? Through the Passion of Christ. You know, Jesus said the stone rejected by the builders is Christ crucified. That's the stone rejected by the builders. The holy sacrifice of the Mass. And we've always heard that the Masses would end someday, but nobody thought that this would happen in this way. The holy sacrifice of the Mass is being celebrated in all the parishes, all the churches, but without people, without the populace being present. And we have to understand that if this is happening, it's because of what Jesus has asked. He's asking us to buckle down. So we're going to repair and redo in the divine world worldwide, and we're going to get as many people as we can, family, friends, to pray the 24 hours of the Passion. You can download the book, you know, at luisapicaretta.me. I think the Peter has it here. You can download it. It's free. But begin to pray this, repair and redo. If you haven't read Repair and Redo, this is why we are here today. We're here to repair and redo in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. So again, each time zone, each country, 24 people. That's all we're looking for. We want more. We want an army of people praying the 24 hours of the Passion. We want to have a greater than Nineveh. This is going to be dramatic. The Lord, I mean, think about it. The Lord knew this was coming. And so what does he do? He gives us the internet. Why? He wants a worldwide, if you want to say, revolution back to God. And so he's given us this great opportunity. So now we're going to begin part two of the illumination in the divine will. Volume 28, 11, 20, 19, 30. Repeated acts form the water with which to water it. The air gives continuous breath to this life. All of heaven. See, so Jesus is saying, if you're not breathing continuously, what will happen is you will begin to, you won't be living. So what Jesus is asking of us is, No, we're on volume 28. I think, go back to where you were, I think, up above.
This may actually be even the wrong document, Father. I apologize. I thought I took this from the email.
I think you're right. I might have the wrong document. God, fun. All right. Can you put it up there? Put what you have at the very top. I've got part two of living in the divine will, the way of living in the divine will. So I'm back 2 months. Okay, so I'll just read it from up here.
Or Father, what I can do is now, what were you starting with? Volume 28. What was the date?
No. Just go back up to where where at the very top. I think it should be 28. No.
That's the top there, but I have 28 down here somewhere.
Okay. And I'll get mine at the next talk. Sorry about that.
That's okay. What's the date, Father? I'm sorry.
April, 11/20/30. A couple more.
I don't think it's here.
Okay. Volume 28. 11/20.
Yeah, I don't have it on this document, unfortunately. My apology.
I'm reading the wrong one. All right, cool. It's all right. Let's just go up a little higher. Let me see. It should say part two somewhere.
Well, this was the document that I thought we were going to be using, but again, my apology if it's not. Let me go back all the way to the top.
Okay, let's start right here because this starts at 19, so this might be the one. Okay. So, okay, 19, 5, 27, 26. I think that's it. And I'll get the other one during the break. Okay, if the light of the sun were divisible, for how long would the sun have I got to shrink the okay, there you go. I got it. Don't worry. If the light of the sun were divisible, for how long would the sun have been poor in light, having no more strength to illuminate all the earth? One could say divided light, desolate earth. So the sun can sing victory. It possesses, the sun can sing victory and it possesses all its strength and its effects thanks to the unity of its light. And if the earth receives so many admirable and innumerable effects to the point that the sun can be called the life of the earth, everything comes from the unity of the light that it possesses. That after so many centuries has lost not even one atom of light that was entrusted to it by God, and therefore it is always triumphant, it is always majestic, it is always fixed, and is always stable in its light, in its singing, its praises of the triumph and the glory of the eternal light of its creator. So here, Jesus is showing us, if the sun was losing its light from the time Adam was here, it wouldn't be great. But he's saying, this is how God is. God is continuous. The light of the sun that Adam had is still continuously now. So he says, now, my daughter, the sun is the symbol of my eternal will. Okay, so we want to enter into this light. And if this symbol possesses the unity of light, much more does my divine will. That is not a symbol, but the reality of light. And this is why the Vatican came out with a book, The Sun of My Divine Will, Luisa Picaretta. The Vatican, there are people in the Vatican that love Luisa. There are people in the Vatican that are cautious of Luisa. Don't worry about that. This is a bump in the road. Jesus says nothing will stop this. This is a divine decree. So our job is to buckle down and really, really get into this. Okay. But the reality of the light, while the sun can be called the budding of inaccessible light of my divine will. This is what this divine will is all about. And you have seen its immensity, the divine immensity of the divine will. And those who are reading, you have a new beginning that's coming. Your prayer life is intensified. Your love for Jesus and Mary is intensified. Your love for Luisa is intensified. Why? Well, something is happening. See, Jesus, the Word, as he speaks to you, begins to change you, transmutes you, he says, inside and out. So this whole beginning that's coming with the souls and the divine will is, as Jesus says here, it's a divine immensity that we're entering into. It's a new experience of, as John Paul II says, a new and divine way of holiness. We're beginning to live this abundant life. How glorious is this? How amazing is this? When you pray the 24 hours of the Passion, when you pray this prayer that Jesus dictated to Luisa, that St. Pius X, when St. Annibal de Francia brought it to St. Pius X, St. Pius X said, "Let us kneel. Jesus is speaking to us." As you enter into this life, you begin to understand why you are here. It's not for yourself. It's to get to know who God is. This is the time of testing. And most of the world, unfortunately, is fallen in love with the things of the earth, the flesh, and the devil. Where Jesus says he wants us to enter into the life of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So he says this: "And you have seen its divine immensity, and how one does not see a globe of light like the sun, but the vastness, such that the human eye cannot arrive at seeing where this vastness ends and where this vastness begins. And yet, all this endlessness of light is one single act of the eternal will of God." It's just a speck of what we're participating in. And Jesus says, "And all this uncreated light is so compacted together as to become inseparable, indivisible. And so more than sun in the sky, it possesses the eternal unity in which the triumph of God and of all our works is founded." Okay, so we're entering into this life of God. This is why God created mankind, to be in his image and likeness. So he says this. Okay. "Look at the unity of this light of my divine will that resides in the center of the three divine persons is already fixed in you." So Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is already focused in us. Oh, sorry. I went down too far. Now, this is the triumph of the unity of the supreme will. It's the center of its dwelling place, of its throne. It is the center of the sacrosanct Trinity. From this divine center starts its most refulgent rays that invest the whole celestial fatherland. All the saints, all the angels are invested by the unity of my divine will. They all receive its innumerable effects, and abducting them to all to itself, it makes of them one single unity with the supreme unity of my divine will. These rays invest the whole creation and form its unity with the soul who lives in my divine will. So here Jesus is saying, I want to bring mankind back to the way I desired from the beginning. When God breathed into the dust, he breathed his image and likeness. He says, now that you are redeemed through Jesus crucified and Mary at the foot of the cross with Jesus, now we're going to enter into a new, as John Paul II says, a new and divine way of holiness, a new and divine way of living. So look at the unity of this light of my divine will that resides at the center of the three divine persons. So Jesus is inviting us to focus on God. Look at this, the unity of this light. He says, I want you to enter into a new beginning for mankind. Now, we know that this is true because of what St. Peter says in the epistle. St. Peter says, we are called to share in divinity. We are called to enter into this divine life, to be divinized. That's what St. Peter says. This new and divine way of holiness that God has given to mankind is so magnificent that we are going to re-enter into this abundant life. Okay, so Jesus says, what I've given to the Holy Church, the Eucharist, the second bread, the third bread is the bread that you eat every day. The second bread is the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist. And then we receive Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity when we go to Holy Mass. And what happens at that point is he resides in us for 15 minutes until the host dissolves. And then the real presence of Jesus in a mystical way is gone. Now, think about that. How many, after receiving Holy Communion, are on their knees praising God and loving God and glorifying God and worshiping God? Most churches, after 15 minutes, everybody walks outside, you know, has a cigarette, you know, gets in their car, drives away. It's supposed to change us, transform us. So Jesus says, I'm giving this to the church. Why? So that the church can begin to embrace a perennial communion. Well, that's the first bread. That's the bread of the divine will that Jesus says that Adam lived on, that Jesus lived on, that the Blessed Mother lived on. And now they gave this to Louisa, the firstborn, the newborn in the divine will. And Jesus is asking us, are you willing to enter into a deeper way of holiness, a more beautiful way of praising God and loving God and glorifying God? And so this is what's happening. So he says very clearly, look at the unity of this light of my divine will that resides where? In the center of the three divine persons. And this is already fixed in you. That's what happened when you were baptized. You are no longer a son or daughter of Adam. You become a son and or daughter of God. You're ontologically changed at holy baptism. The baptism in the church brings about you in God's, you're reflecting in God's image. And we go through the holy sacraments and the sacramentals of the church. Why? To begin to live a life in God's likeness. Now, how do you get to God's likeness? How can you be perfect as God is perfect? Which we heard in the gospel last week. How can we become perfect? It's by this great gift of the divine will. The new era has begun. The new era. Remember yesterday, Jesus said to the young man said, you know, what do we need? Jesus, what are the greatest commandments? And he says, to love the Lord with your God, with your whole mind, your whole heart, and all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And the guy repeated what Jesus said. And Jesus said to him, you're not far from the reign of the kingdom. To repeat what Jesus says, to reflect on what Jesus says. That's what the Book of Heaven is all about. When you read the Book of Heaven, when you listen to Jesus, and you enter into this life, this abundant life that God wants us to, and that's why he says very clearly, these rays must invest the whole creation in form of the unity of life in the soul, which lives the divine will. Look at the unity of this life of my divine will. Where does it reside? In the center of the three divine persons that is already fixed in you, in us, through holy baptism. Now God wants us to have more. Okay, now is the time for more. Why do you think all the masses, worldwide basically, have been shut down? Jesus is saying, get ready, the kingdom is coming. He is the most important person in our life. Our Lord and Savior, our Master, our King. With his mother, the new Adam and the new Eve, they are the most important. That was the most important to Louisa. And because of this, Jesus and Mary gave Louisa this gift. They breathed it into her. Why? How? Every word that Jesus spoke, being the word of God. Louisa repeated. She not only read it, she did three things. She read it, studied it, and then she put it into practice. That's what God is asking of us. Are you willing to read this, to study this, to put this into practice? The churches are closed. This is a time to focus. This is a time to go to your prayer life, to repeat what Jesus has said. What we've done for the last 2,000 years is we've repeated the prayers of the great saints. You know, St. Ignatius, St. Clare, St. Francis. We repeat their prayers. We repeat how they prayed. Now Jesus says to Louisa, and Our Lady says to Louisa, I'm going to teach you new and more powerful prayers. Well, how can anything be greater than the prayers of St. Ignatius or the prayers of St. Gertrude? Jesus says, I'm going to teach you how to do this. Our Lady says, I'm going to teach you how to do this. What we find with these prayers of Jesus and Mary in the divine will, they are so powerful that great miracles are going to happen. when Jesus says, when I find the souls that want this, I will give it to the world. That's what, let's go back to the 24 hours of the Passion from Holy Thursday to Good Friday. Every hour throughout the world. I mean, this is a gift God is giving to us. He's saying, would you be willing to participate in my Passion all of Thursday? I mean, excuse me, from Thursday, all Thursday night, all of Friday to Friday afternoon. Are you willing to participate with me? Jesus says. Think about it. It's not just going to church for the 3 o'clock hour or the 2 o'clock hour. We want the whole world on their knees, if you can. If you can't, don't worry about it, to pray and to repair and redo in the divine will. Why? It's needed. It's needed. We are living in a time that Jesus is saying to us, get ready. Something great is coming. I've got to close the doors to everyone that doesn't want what I want because they don't want it. I have to give them what they want. If you don't want Jesus, Jesus says, fine. I don't want to lose you, but I have to give you what you want. He did that with the devil. The devil said, I will not serve. I will not obey. God said, then I have to give you what you want. And that's hell. To not serve and not obey God is hell. Many people live that life early on. They choose to do what they want. And for the rest of their life, they are suffering with the choices that they made early in life. And that's basically their purgatory. Those that don't turn back to Christ, it begins their hell. All of us sin. All of us have the chance to go to Holy Confession, to make a good confession, confess our sins, to repair and redo our lives. And the Jesus saying, I'm now going to give to you a more perfect way of doing this, the way I am teaching, not through the saints. We love the saints, but we're getting it through their understanding. If a saint was a farmer, he will talk in a farmer's language of how to pray. Okay. If a saint is a scientist, he'll talk in a scientific way. Jesus speaks to us. This is what's so beautiful about the divine will. Jesus speaks to us as he speaks, he transforms us. He transmutes us. He begins to, touch our, DNA. You know, we've talked about this before. The DNA of Adam was perfect. And now our chromosomes, 30% of our chromosomes are broken. That's not how we're supposed to live. So now our chromosomes, our DNA says to us, you have to get old, you have to get gray haired, you have to become wrinkled, and you have to die. If you live to be 70, 80 if you're strong. That's what scripture says. Jesus says, this is not the way I wanted. We're to be eternally young as God is eternally young. That's why we were created. So God is asking us, he's saying to us, would you be willing to buckle down, buckle up, get ready for what's coming, and watch what I, the Lord God, am going to do. See, that's what St. Louis de Montfort says. St. Louis de Montfort says, they'll be the greatest saints in the history of the church, history of the world, but it's nothing that they have done, but what God has done for them. This is what God is looking for. He's looking for souls that want to begin this. So he says this. So one is the light and the act. One is the will. Okay. We enter into this light. We enter into this will of God. Now, while you do your acts, your heartbeat, your breath, your prevening act in the morning, your actual acts throughout the day, in this unity, the unity of God, the three divine persons, they are already incorporated in that single act of the center of, and the divinity is already with you, doing what you do. See, that's what St. Louis de Montfort says, the greatest saints in the history of the church, history of the world, and it's nothing that the human has done, but what God has done for them. Do you see what God is calling us to? A new and divine way of holiness, as John Paul II said. This is what's happening. So the Celestial Mama, Mary, the Blessed Mother, the saints, the angels, the whole creation, all in chorus, repeat your act. Come, divine will, breathe in my breathing. Every heartbeat, Come divine will, beat in my heart beating. Come divine will, walk in my walking. Come divine will, dance in my dancing, sing in my singing, swim in my swimming. What is he saying? He says, Our Lady, the angels, the saints, all of creation, all in chorus, together with you, repeat your act and feel the effects of the supreme will. See, we're saying, I'm tired of doing my human will. What is your human will? How do you understand your human will? It's very simple. What do you say when you make a good confession? This is your human will. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I don't want to live like this. That's your human will. And you say, Lord, I want to live in your holy divine will. I want you, Lord, to breathe in my breathing. You, Lord, to beat my heart beating. I want to make a firm purpose of amendment to avoid these near occasions of sin. Why? So that you, Lord, live in me. You, Lord, reign in me. So that's what Jesus is asking. He's asking us, see, in these difficult times, he's asking us, are you willing to do something greater than what everything else, everybody else is doing? Are you willing to enter into the life that I gave to Louisa? Are you willing? Again, remember, the greatest thing that Jesus gave to his apostles and disciples, it was very clear. He says, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. And the whole crowd, it says, turned and said, this is too difficult. And they left him. And everybody left him. He had thousands around him. And then what happened? When he says, you must eat, now I'm going to give you the greatest gift. You must eat my flesh and drink my blood. And they went, hey, thank you, but no thank you. Even today, a lot of the Christians say, I don't believe that. And then he said to his apostles, will you leave me? And Peter, this great man, says, where can we go? You have the words of eternal life. This is what Louisa speaks to us about. Louisa speaks to us about this great gift. Where can we find this, Lord? You are the only one that can teach us. As you read, as you study, as you put this into practice like Louisa, you begin to live this life that's filled with what? Not worry, not fear, not anxiety, complaints, negativity, or sin. It's the peace and the joy and the happiness of heaven. Why are all the little children of the Holy Divine Will happy? It's they're listening to Jesus. As he speaks to us, our DNA is changing. Remember when Jesus said, when God said, fiat lux, the whole universe began. When the Blessed Mother said, fiat mihi, the incarnation took place. And now Jesus says, your turn, Louisa, you will begin this. And everyone will follow the fiat voluntas tua. May your kingdom reign in me on earth, this dust, as it is in heaven. So what God is asking of us, he's asking us, are you willing to embrace a new and divine way of holiness, which John Paul II told us? Why do you think Saint John Paul II preached to all the world? He preached to all the world to get the world ready for what? The return of Jesus. That's why he did it. He knew what Jesus said to Saint Faustina, and what he saw with Saint Faustina. It's very clear. Jesus said to Saint Faustina, the final devotion that I'm giving to my church before I return is divine mercy. And John Paul II gave us that in the year 2000. 20 years we've been praying this every year. 20 years on the feast of the divine mercy. Now what's coming? Now it's the new and divine way of holiness. At the canonization of St. Honorable de Francia, I was sitting right up there in the Vatican, and what we heard was the Pope saying this. Now we're going to begin a new and divine way of holiness. Who is St. Honorable de Francia? He was the confessor. He was the director of Luisa Picaretta. Now I remember when we were in the Vatican, in the secret archives of the Vatican, getting the books out, he had written on the pages, in the first 19 volumes, he would say, Luisa, he wasn't correcting her. he was saying, does this refer back to what you said on volume 2? Is this what you said in understanding volume 10? He would say, is this a continuation of what Jesus taught you? And then she would write, yes, this is what. And what happened was Jesus was teaching, say, Honorable de Francia, who put his Nihil Obstat and got the imprimatur, the first 19 volumes of Archbishop May. St. Honorable de Francia was the spiritual director of Melanie of La Salette. Our Lady was teaching him how to understand the things of heaven through Melanie. When he was canonized, a whole new beginning happened. I remember I was standing next to the postulator of the cause, Father Pignatelli. And at the end, when St. Honorable was made saint, he went, done with St. Honorable. He goes, now Louisa. They understood the depth that is here. It is very deep, but very simple. You listen to what Jesus is saying, and you take him at his word. What would it be like to sit next to Jesus when he was like 25? Sitting with Jesus when he was 25 years old and listening to him talk, listening to him and the Blessed Mother talk. Can you imagine what it was like to listen to the two of them, sitting with them, listening to them explain why they're on earth and why the kingdom has to come and how it's going to come? This is what happens when you read the volumes. You begin to listen to Jesus, not with your ears, but with your heart, your mind, your soul. You begin to hear the Blessed Mother. The next seven talks are going to be on the six steps of that Our Lady teaches Louisa how to give up your human will. A lot of people say, "Well, I've given up my human will." It's intense. You are buckling up. Let's just say you're gonna jump out of a plane. You're buckling up to get ready to jump. You don't just say it's not haphazard. It's really intense. And what happens is you become happier and happier, understanding and realizing what God is doing in your life. So he says this. Listen to the prodigy never before seen. That's what God is doing with each and every one of us. Never before seen of that single act that you are doing, one with Jesus, one with Mary, through Louisa, that fills heaven and earth with the very Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because you belong to the Trinity, unify it in itself with the creature and placing itself as the primary act of the soul of the creature. Do you have any idea what that means? For all eternity, that line right there, Jesus is going to teach us more and more and more. You will never fully comprehend it. You know, and I know some people say, well, that's ridiculous. Well, again, I believe, many believe throughout the world that Jesus spoke to Louisa. And, you know, what Father Bucci says, who knew Louisa, he's the last priest that actually knew Louisa Picaretta. He says that when you enter into this gift, a new beginning happens for you. It's not saintly. It's not good. It's not holy. It doesn't stop there. It goes beyond that. You enter into sharing in divinity. Now, no one possesses that fully because that would mean that you were one with God. We want this gift. We desire this gift. And as soon as you can have it, but as soon as you get worried, it's gone. As soon as you're fearful, it's gone. As soon as you're anxious, it's gone. As soon as you complain. I thought that was a gift God gave to me, and I was really using it to the best that I could. As long as you complain, the gift of the divine will is gone. As long as you're negative, the gift of the divine will is gone. Why? Those are all the demonic aspects that influence us. So when you worry, you're feeding the demon worry continuously. You're keeping it alive in you. Oh, no, you don't understand. I have to worry about this. No, you don't. your trust in God, believe in God, hope in God, confidence in God. This is what God is looking for, and this is what's happening. So think about this. Listen to the prodigy just by saying, Jesus, beat in my heart beating. Jesus, beat in my heart beating. Listen to the prodigy never before seen of that single act that fills both heaven and earth with the very Trinity unifying itself with the soul, with you, and placing itself as the primary act. God is saying the primary act is He is doing this. Jesus, breathe in my breathing. He is placing itself as the primary act of that act of breathing of the soul. This is a prodigy never before seen. Adam had it. Jesus and Mary had it. And now Jesus says, I give this to Louisa. It's to begin to live a life of heaven on earth. How glorious is this? Volume 19, 8:22, 1926. My daughter, there is nothing more penetrating than light. It diffuses everywhere with enchanting rapidity, bringing its beneficial effects to all those who let themselves be invested by it. The light refuses to do its good to no one, be they people, the earth, the water, plants, or other things. Its nature is to illuminate and to do good, and therefore it leaves no one behind. It brings to all, it brings its kiss of light and the good that it get that it, and light that gives good it contains, the good that it can. That was a hard one. I think, Peter, next time, can you just make the print a little bigger? Okay, next time, don't worry about it now.
Certainly.
Okay, thank you. My divine will is more than light. It diffuses everywhere and brings the good it contains and the acts done in it form the atmosphere of gold. See, Jesus is saying, this is not normal. It's the atmosphere of gold and silver. I mean, He's using these analogies that has the virtue of emptying all the darkness of the night of the human will. What is your human will? Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. All that darkness is going to be gone. With its beneficial light, this is divine light, it brings the kiss of the eternal volition, the eternal will of God, to dispose the soul to wanting to come into the kingdom of the supreme fiat. Each act of yours, each thought, each word, each deed, done in the divine will is a new horizon that you make arise for the eye of the human intellect. See, what's happening is we're beginning to see things from a divine perspective, from Christ's point of view, not a human point of view. That goes back to Humani Vitae. Humani Vitae was from God, and humanity said, I'm not going to obey. I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to follow. I'm not going to do this. If you look, everything fell apart at that point. God wanted to show us what human life was about. It's to follow God, to listen to God, to obey God. And the teachings of the church that Jesus is speaking to us, our dogma and our doctrine. And when they said, I'm not going to obey Humani Vitae, I can do what I want. God says, fine, that's your human misery. And that's where we've been stuck at. We've been stuck in this misery, really intensified. Since the 60s. And so God is saying to us now, you got to get ready. The kingdom is coming. I'm going to shut down everything to get you ready. That's what Jesus is saying. And he's saying to us, are you ready? I'm not talking about the end of the world. Are you ready for the kingdom? Because I have to give it to those souls who want it. I can't give it to the souls who don't want it. I can't. He will not force us to take this kingdom. So what does he do? He's saying to us, get ready, get ready, get ready. And our job is, and look at Our Lady's appeared all over the world, especially in this last century, or past century. Why? To get us ready. For what? The kingdom is coming. What does Our Lady of Revelation say to Bruno in Rome in 1947, 73 years ago? What does she say? She says, the time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of the reign of Lucifer. The kingdom is coming. So what is God doing? He's saying, I'm going to give you the way to enter into this life that I didn't give to the apostles because it wasn't time for that. I didn't give it to the saints because it wasn't time for that. I've given it to you through Louisa so that you can get ready for this great gift. That's why this Good Friday, Holy Thursday and Good Friday are really important this year, very important for us this year. So each of your acts done in the divine will is a new horizon that you make arise for the eye of the human intellect. We're going to begin to see things from a divine perspective. To make it long, desire for the light of the good that my most holy divine will possesses. May your kingdom, this is what the priest says every day, Holy Mass, put in the drop of water in the chalice. May we share in the divinity of Christ as he shared with us his humanity, his holy humanity. God has gotten everything ready. Again, think about it. The last time there were no people at a mass in Italy, if you want to say, all of Italy, was before Peter and Paul came to Rome. You have to understand, it was a new beginning for the church and for the world with Peter and Paul going to Rome. Now, it's a new beginning. You have to understand what Jesus is telling us. Nothing happens by chance. It's just, oh, it just happened. No, nothing happens by chance. God is in charge. And he's saying to us, I'm giving you the way and the how this is going to happen. And that's the book of heaven. So volume 20, 10, to make it long for the light of the good that my divine will possesses. Volume 20, 10, 9, 1926. I was making my round in the supreme volition. This is the way Jesus prayed. This is the way Mary prayed. This is the way Adam prayed before the fall. This is what Jesus taught Louisa to do. So Louisa was making her round. She was praying her round in the supreme will of God, according to her usual way. And my sweet Jesus showed a globe of light within my interior. We're looking at Louisa now. And as I repeated my acts in the divine fiat, it became larger and the rays came out of it, became longer. And my always beloved Jesus told me, my daughter, the more often you go make your rounds, pray your rounds in my divine will in order to repeat your acts, the larger the sphere of this globe of light becomes, the more power of divine light it possesses, the more its rays can extend that must illuminate the kingdom of the eternal fiat. You don't hear the saints talking about this. So Jesus is saying to us, I'm going to show you something that I want to give to you as well as I gave to Louisa, if you wish it. He says, your acts fused. Okay, that means fusing is two pieces of metal being welded together. They can't break. As your acts fused, dissolved in my divine will, shall form the special sun that must illuminate a kingdom so holy. So Louisa is the one, and this is what Archbishop Beccheri told us. Louisa is the one who begins to live this abundant life. She is the one. Your acts, you know, fused, dissolved in my divine will, your acts, Louisa, shall form the special sun that must illuminate a kingdom so holy. This sun, listen to this, shall possess the creative strength as it extends its rays. It shall leave the mark of divine sanctity, of divine goodness, of divine light, of divine beauty, of the divine likeness of God. That's God's image and likeness. That's not saintly. That's not good. That's not holy. That's beyond that. Can you believe it? I love the saints. But God says, now's the time for more. That's why Our Lady said to Bruno, time is over. The new era has begun. Those who shall let themselves be illuminated by this divine light shall feel the divine power of a new continuous creation of divine joy, divine contentments, of divine goods without end. That's what God has got us ready for, and that's what he's planned. So we'll end there in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We'll be back in 15 minutes.